So I'm going to ask us to bow our heads in prayer so that we can open our service in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to meet together in this way, both virtually and in person, so that we can gather around your word and study it tonight and then gather around together in prayer. I pray, Father, that you would be with my voice as my cold is in full swing right now. I pray that you would enable me to finish the message without petering out. Lord, I pray that you would be with Bev, especially as she's sick. I pray that you would heal her. I pray that you'd be with Sylvia and others who are having medical difficulties. Pray that you would heal them. And Lord, now I pray that you would guide us as we study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, the cold really hit me like full blast last night. And yeah, interesting. So I may sound terrible, but hopefully you can understand my words. Okay. All right. As you're aware, we embarked 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday evening series entitled Important Bible Words. And you'll also have noticed in the course of our series so far that many of these words have more than one meaning, depending on the context. And that's why it's so important to know what these words mean in the context of each Bible passage in which it is found. 2 weeks ago, we studied the word grace. Last Wednesday, we studied the word life. Today, we'll look at the Bible word hope. We'll actually concentrate more on the New Testament use of the word hope because the Greek word translated hope, although it had somewhat of a range of meaning in the secular use of that word around the time of the New Testament scriptures written, it seems to have had a more narrow meaning in its use in the New Testament scriptures themselves. So keep that in mind. Don't go to a secular, dictionary of Greek and say, well, it can mean this too. Yes, but you always go by the usage in the Bible. That's what's key. So keep that in mind. Now, first of all, it would probably be helpful to be clear about what the word hope means in our English usage today, how we use the word hope in our everyday language. When we use the word hope today in the English language, the main emphasis of the meaning is a positive attitude along with a desire to attain a goal or obtain an object. Most dictionaries would offer synonyms like aspiration, desire, wish, goal, ambition, aim, or plan. Notice that in none of these possible synonyms do you find the idea of certainty factoring in. Most often, the word hope is used today in the sense of a desire or wish with a positive attitude, but not with absolute certainty. By the way, if you are familiar with French or Spanish, you'll notice that the French verb and noun espérer and espoir, or the Spanish esperanza, esperance, and the Spanish verb and noun esperar and esperanza have the same basic meaning as the English word hope that we just explained a moment ago, that kind of usage in today's language. With all this in mind, it's important for us to realize that the Bible use of the word hope, especially in the New Testament, differs significantly from our modern use of the word hope in English and in most other modern languages. So let's summarize the use of the word hope in the Old Testament scriptures. Because of the format of this Wednesday evening series, I won't get into an extensive study of the several Old Testament Hebrew words translated as hope, especially in the King James Version. Here is a list of Hebrew words that have been translated as hope in at least the King James Version, if not the New American Standard Bible. Batach means to trust, with a secondary meaning of hope. There's hasa, refuge, shelter, trust in for safety and protection. Yachal, wait, hope, patient waiting, longing, so far disappointing, but still hoping and waiting. There's kava, to hope strongly, to to stretch out the mind in a straight direction towards an object of hope and or expectation. It includes savar, looking for, expectantly, hope for. Okay, so lots of Hebrew words here that are translated hope in the New American, none, sorry, in the King James Version. But as usual, the New American Standard Bible is more consistent in translating the same Hebrew word with the same equivalent English word, whereas the King James Version translators opted for translating a variety of different Hebrew words with the same English word hope. And that was the idea of wanting variety, and that was part of literature. Okay. So notice the Hebrew word chasa, which is translated hope in the King James Version, is translated refuge in the New American Standard Bible. If you want to, you can turn to these passages, but you'll have to be quick. All right. So Joel chapter 3, verse 16. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. In the King James Version, it reads this way. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall quake, shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of the people, chasa, of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. Now let me read it in the New American Standard Bible. Joel 3, verse 16 again. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble. But the Lord is a refuge, chasa, refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Notice the Hebrew word yahal, which the King James Version translates with the long phrase, both hope and quietly wait for. Okay, all of that, translating that one Hebrew word, okay? Both hope and quietly wait for. Instead of just the three words, wait silently for, as the New American Standard Bible translates it. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 26. I'll give you a little time to find it so I can drink some water. Lamentations 3 verse 26. In the King James Version, it reads, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Lamentations 3:26 in the New American Standard Bible, "It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." Notice, thirdly, the Hebrew word batach, which the King James Version sometimes translates as hope, but which the New American Standard Bible consistently translates as trust, which actually is its primary meaning. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 in the King James Version reads this way: Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Now, trusteth translates the same word as hope in that verse, okay? And that's why they wanted variety, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Then in the New American Standard Bible, Jeremiah 17, 7, Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Okay, because it's translating the same Hebrew word batach, okay, both times. All right. Fourth example here, the remaining two words, kava and savar, are both translated hope in both the King James Version and the New American Standard Bible. These two Hebrew words are the closest to the New Testament use of the Greek word translated hope. So these two, kava and savar, are the closest to the New Testament Greek word. Now, let's examine the use of the word hope in the New Testament scriptures. There's only one Greek word behind every use of the word hope in the New Testament. The verb form is the Greek word elpidzo, meaning to look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. Now, that confidence doesn't mean that you somehow have it in yourself, but it's because God promised it. So it's a certainty. Remember that key word, certainty? Okay. So, elpidzo, to look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. The noun form is the Greek word elpis, which means confident expectation. And the implication is a confident expectation of something good and beneficial. All right. So hope you get all of that meaning into that one Greek word. Now, what's interesting is that in the New American Standard Bible, the very first use of this Greek word, which in this case happens to be the verb form elpidso, is actually translated expect rather than hope. And this is presumably in order to capture the true sense of a confident expectation rather than the wishful thinking that the modern English word hope evokes. Luke chapter 6, verse 34. In fact, go ahead and find that. This is the very first use of the word elpidso. Luke 6, verse 34. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says this: If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. See, that word expect changes the meaning of it a little bit, doesn't it, than hope? Because if we use the word hope, we're thinking, I hope I get it back, that kind of thing. Whereas this is expect. Okay, of course it's going to come back. Okay. So the key truth that I trust you'll glean from our study of the use of this word in the New Testament is that you have a hope that should bring joy and peace to your heart. Unlike the common understanding of the word hope in modern English, in other words, wishful thinking, a desire that is optimistic but not certain, with a very few exceptions that are clear in the context, like in Romans 4:18, okay, where it is more like that meaning, okay? The New Testament's use of the word hope, with that one exception there, is absolutely certain because it refers to something God promised and God cannot lie. God cannot lie and God cannot fail because God can do anything he wants to do. He is omnipotent, all powerful. All right, so it is just as sure as if it has already happened. And by the way, in many times in the New Testament Greek, the verb form is in the past tense as if it's already happened. That's how sure God's promises are. Okay, it's already happened in God's sight. Okay, so the only difference is that hope takes place in the future, not in the past, but it's just as certain. Just as certain. What a blessing to read passages that refer to our hope or the blessed hope and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it will take place. You can see why I encourage you, whenever you read the word hope in a passage in the New Testament, to replace the word hope with the words, two words, confident expectation. Let's say it together. Confident expectation. I just want to close this part of this Bible study with some encouraging verses with the word hope. Would you turn to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 15. So pretty close by. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, you'll be very near the next passage we'll read. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Do you see how it really means confident expectation or expectation, you could say. So if we expect something, hope that is seen, if you've already received it, that's not expectation. You've already got it. Okay? So that's what it's trying to say here. So who expects something he already sees? All right. So the point is, it's future. It's future, but it's just as certain as the past. All right. Romans chapter 15. In verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that confident expectation, right? Because God makes it happen. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And then we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 13. So another passage that is very close to the next one. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Do you see why it would be ridiculous to translate it as wishful thinking? Okay. In the hope, the confident expectation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope, confident expectation, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And then finally, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. So all the way to the back near the book of Revelation, almost at the back of your Bible. The other way, Pauline, all the way, almost to the end of your Bible there. Okay. First John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him, on the Lord Jesus, purifies himself just as he, Christ, is pure. Okay? Everyone who has this confident expectation fixed on Christ purifies himself just as Christ is pure. And putting Christ there in place of the pronouns there, so you understand. All right. So, as I said before, except for very few exceptions that are clear in the context, remember context, right? The New Testament's use of the word hope means confident expectation, looking forward eagerly to a certainty in the future. I trust that the Lord has encouraged you by reminding you of this certainty of your salvation. And the certainty of your home in heaven, and the certainty of your future glorified body, and the removal once and for all of the sin principle that still resides in our soul and body. What a glorious hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. You see the sure and steadfast there? If you put in wishful thinking, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? All right, so it's a confident expectation, a certainty of something in the future.